Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Happy New Year and welcome to 2026, in case you need any reminders.
I feel like
this year's easier. 25
why?
To 26, I don't know. It just rolls off the tongue better.
Well, it's easier if you're like changing your grade and changing the 5 to a 6. It's easier to change that.
True. I don't know. It just feels like I'm not forgetting that it's 2026. It's a new year.
But you don't write checks. So when are you even having to enter the date?
That's true. Well, I still have to enter dates on paperwork and other things, but you're right.
Do you?
No paper checks here.
Do you even have a checkbook?
I do, yes. Do you know you have to pay extra for checks, though?
I know. It drives me nuts.
It does.
And the order gets smaller and smaller.
And
used to get like a big box with like 6 or 7 stacks, and then it went to like a little booklet thing with 4.
I'm like, I want 10 checks. Can you just give me 10 checks, please?
That's what I was getting at. How many checks a month do you actually write?
Oh, no.
One?
Yeah, one. I mean, and it's for like those rare, I mean, because we do have business owners here that our checks are cash only. And so I also never have cash either. So for those businesses, I do carry checks around.
I will write checks till the day I die.
you feel better about it?
I will find businesses to go to if I have to.
See, and I like the instant withdrawal. Is what I like. So I like that I see that it goes right out so that they're already paid. I know that's taken care of, like done. Versus something could happen to a check. Could get destroyed.
That's the wild gamble that is life.
you and your checks.
So did you go up and throw a glider with your...
We did, of course.
And what, because you write intentions. You don't do...
Intentions, wishes, hopes.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's something we talked about with the kids, and they didn't really quite understand what resolutions even meant.
Yes. Yeah.
And I tried to, you know, it's something you've resolved to do. Yeah. And even when I explained it, they kind of made it into what they thought it was. So yes, intentions are good.
So I'm not going to ask you what it was, because then you won't stick to it. Because that's
right.
Why you threw the glider into the wind so that it would be out there in the universe.
Right, for anybody to pick up on the grass.
All right, so we have we've started like a number of traditions here.
Okay.
One, we end the year
yeah.
with the cutest kids possible.
Quila kids.
To boost
yeah.
our ratings.
Yes.
And they do something this year. It was New Year's Eve, of course.
Yes.
And then we've always started the year for, I don't know how many times we've done this, but things to 100th anniversary of.
Yeah, things turning 100.
Yeah, things turning 100, or we take a look back at 100 years ago, so 1926.
Right.
But first, let's get the history highlights out of the way.
Okay.
I don't have a lot, but January 5th, these are things that happen tomorrow. 1846, the U.S. House of Representatives votes to stop sharing the Oregon Territory with the United Kingdom.
Oh, that's a big deal.
No. We're not going to be British and American.
Yeah.
We want it all for us.
Yes.
All right, I'm glad that they did that, 1846. 1861, the 250, this is 1861, 250 federal troops are sent from New York to Fort Sumner.
Oh.
So I don't know that I've plugged this book on the air before, but Eric Larson, that did The Devil in White City and a bunch of other things, really great books. I love. He wrote probably the best book on the Civil War and the origins of the Civil War called The Demon of Unrest.
Okay.
And those 250 soldiers never got to Fort Sumner. They were turned back.
Oh.
So, but it's all about a number of things, but, you know, it also was the Civil War. It was about states' rights. No, it was about slavery. And he really goes over the top proving this, because if you look at all the constitutions, all of the secession, they're all lead off with slavery. But the poor commander that was at Fort Sumner.
Right.
He's like cut off and he's trying to figure out what to do. And it's just a fascinating book. So highly recommend it. Eric Larson, Demon of Unrest. 1886, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson is published.
Ooh.
I like Robert Louis Stevenson. I kind of like everything that I've read. 1914, industrialist Henry Ford announces his $5 minimum per day wage.
Minimum wage.
It pretty much doubles what most of his workers were making, about $2.40 for a 9-hour day, and now they're getting $5 for an 8-hour day.
Okay, wow.
And the rationale?
He wanted all the labor?
he wanted that parking lot to be filled with not bicycles, but with cars.
Right. Yes, I do remember this. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
That I love that line more than the you can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Right. Yeah.
All right. 1933, work on the Golden Gate Bridge begins, starting on the Marin County side.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Have we driven across it?
Yes, of course. I've biked across it several
times. Biked across it?
Yes.
Is there a separate biking lane?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that would terrify me.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's a big deal.
Okay. 1945, Pepe Le Pew debuts in the Warner Brothers cartoon, Odorable Kitty.
Oh.
Odor.
Yes.
Pepe Le Pew.
Because he's a skunk, right?
Yeah. I kind of don't like Pepe Le Pew.
I don't remember him. I mean, I guess in my head I can hear the voice.
He doesn't take no for an answer.
Oh, is that?
That nice little female cat, he keeps like coming on to her and she's made it clear she wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, well, good.
But he does not accept that.
Yep,
so consent. Pepe Le Pew, you need to go to some HR meetings.
Yes.
1959, Bozo the Clown, live children's show premieres on TV.
Terrifying children across America.
Yeah. Did you not like clowns as a kid?
No, I'm fine with clowns. And my kids are fine with clowns. But I totally understand the fear, though. It's too much for a kid.
See, I wasn't afraid of them. I just thought they were ridiculous.
Right. It's overstimulation.
I was like, that's not funny.
And then...
The only thing about clowns I think is funny is when like 50 of them gets out of a little tiny car.
Yeah.
Now that's funny.
Right. That is pretty funny. How do they do that?
I don't know. It's magic. All right. Clown magic. Okay. But our history highlight of the day... Last week, our history highlight of the day was something that Richard Nixon did. No coincidence. Well, it is a coincidence.
Yeah.
But this one is a Richard Nixon thing, too.
Okay.
So 1972, on this date, President Nixon launches the space shuttle program when he signs a bill authorizing $5.5 million in funding. The space shuttle.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you, Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I saw this one.
I didn't either, that it was him that did the space. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. I did, one of the books I read this year was Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and it was about the space program and the women entering the space program. And it's historical fiction, so it is a fiction book, but it has a lot of accurate points just about when women were in that space aeronautical engineer program.
So as women as astronauts or women as the smart ones doing all the math and everything
else? No, women as astronauts. Okay, they were not allowed to be pilots when they entered, but they were allowed to be astronauts. So, yeah.
Go figure.
I know. You can go up into space and women did die, too, of course.
Could they wear pants?
Yes, they did. They could.
Good. All right. So we're going to talk about 1926.
Yeah, we are. Things that came about in 1926.
Yeah. So in 1926, Babe Ruth, Rudolph Valentino, and Agatha Christie were all on center stage. Beef tenderloin and butterscotch cake were crowd pleasers.
Yummy.
And James and Helen were two of the most popular baby names.
That's funny. James and Helen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bacon cost 50 cents a pound.
Wow.
Eggs were 56 cents a dozen. And maple syrup was 49 cents a pint. I love that those are the three,
the
barometers of
bacon,
prices.
Eggs, and maple syrup.
And maple syrup. Where are the pancakes?
Right.
And why is it all breakfast stuff?
Yes. Some other random facts. The president of the United States at the time was Calvin Coolidge. He's a Republican from Massachusetts.
Silent Cal.
Vice presidents, Charles G. Dawes, Republican from Illinois.
I'm curious. Loyal listeners, do any of us remember vice presidents from before we were born? Poor vice presidents.
Never.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
Well, and if you do, it's usually not good.
Yes, because
right?
They became president.
Right.
But Charles Dawes, he's the vice president. And has anybody remembered him?
No. Okay. The population, 117,397,000 people. The most populous states were New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio, and Texas. The most populous cities were New York City, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Cleveland. The average cost of a new home, about $6,200. Doesn't that sound lovely?
Yeah, but what's the annual pay?
I know. Okay. Average cost of a new car was $515. And the price for a gallon of gas, 23 cents. Cost of a first class stamp, 2 cents.
So the gallon of gas strikes me as kind of high.
23 cents, yes.
Yeah, so it's half the price of a pound of bacon.
Oh,
I would have to look at like what does a pound of bacon cost today, and then versus
and
the
gas.
Yeah. So some famous births, and usually, you know, we don't like to talk about birthdays as significant, but astronaut Gus Grissom was born in 1926. David Attenborough, the English broadcaster and naturalist. Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
She'd be 100 if she were alive.
That's amazing.
Fidel Castro.
Huh.
Andy Griffith.
Oh, wow.
I like Andy Griffith. Elizabeth II. Harper Lee.
Wow.
Hugh Hefner. Jerry Lewis. Mel Brooks.
Wow.
Miles Davis. And Tony Bennett.
Wow. They seem so ageless in
my mind.
Isn't that
kind of terrible? Because they're in our lifetime, some of these people. I mean, Mel Brooks, great movies.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Procter & Gamble introduced the Camay bar soap.
I've had that a few times.
Yeah. United Airlines, one of America's major air carriers, was founded by Walter Varney in Boise, Idaho. The Waters Genter Company in Minneapolis introduced the first automatic pop-up toaster. We were just talking about toasters and Pop-Tarts.
Last week, yeah. Although, I mean, you've seen like before the pop-up toaster, that it's they just kind of lay them on the side. I can't even describe it. I had one for camping that was ancient.
Yeah, okay.
It was the same thing that you'd use at home, only you'd put it over the stove. But it was just like this chainmail thing that you put the bread into, and it kind of teepeed over the heat source.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran, the breakfast cereal that is made from raisins and bran flakes, appeared on grocery stores for the first time. 100 years old.
And it tastes like it's 100 years old. Not a fan.
Yeah, me either.
I like raisins.
Yeah, and flakes, but not bran flakes. The Hormel Company in Austin, Minnesota, marketed the first canned ham.
Okay, because again, I'm going to show my age. Late Night with David Letterman, not The Late Show with David Letterman. So going way back to the mid-80s, early 80s. He always used to give canned hams away as prizes because he found them funny. So that made me always laugh. So when I saw that one, I just started laughing.
Well, all I'm thinking is, and they're still giving away those canned hams.
Yeah.
They're still selling them.
So this one is significant. On March 16th of 1926, the first liquid-fueled rocket, Robert Goddard, successfully launched the world's first liquid-fuel rocket in Auburn, Massachusetts. Never would have guessed that. Marking the beginning of modern rocketry. This is considered by some to be the start of the space age, though his rocket did not reach outer space.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. I'm not going to know how to say that, but PCP, angel dust, is first synthesized.
Is that a good thing?
Not a good thing.
Well,
no.
I should have looked. Does that have any practical uses?
That's true. I don't know.
Television. Okay. Scottish inventor John Logie Baird demonstrates his pioneering grayscale mechanical television system, which he calls a televisor. I like that. At his London laboratory for members of the Royal Institution and a reporter from The Times.
Oh, cool. November 23rd, the aerosol can is patented by Eric Rothheim, a Norwegian chemical engineer. That's had some lasting life.
Yeah, lasting impact.
Yes. The United States Revenue Act of 1926 is signed into law by President Calvin Coolidge on February 26, and it reduced both inheritance and personal income taxes, eliminated the gift tax, and ended public access to federal income tax returns.
Okay. So again, I didn't do a deeper dive on that, but does that mean before 1926, I could just go look at everybody's income tax?
Possibly.
In tax form and
kind
of figure out, hey, how much did you make? And
right.
What'd you spend it on?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
The College Board administered the first Scholastic Aptitude Test, the SAT. 8,000 to 8,000 high school students. That's approximately 1.7 million students now take the SAT annually, and about 1,000 of them score a perfect 1,600.
I was trying to remember when I put these together what my score was, but I really can't remember. I just think of the Seinfeld line between Jerry and George with, what do you say you got? Well, I say I got 1490. That's a pretty good score or whatever. What'd you really get? I'm taking that to my death.
Oh.
I mean, I think I had an okay score, but I really don't remember.
I took the ACT, and my score was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bertha Landis, very unfortunate name, but she was elected as the first female mayor of Seattle.
Pretty cool.
And also became the first female mayor of a major American city.
Good job, Bertha.
Way to go, Bertha.
Yeah. On May 1st, the Ford Motor Company became one of the first companies in America to adopt the 5-day, 40-hour work week in its automotive factories. The policy was extended to Ford's office workers the following August.
Okay, I like that he starts with the workers and the poor guys in the office are still working longer hours.
I know. That I was.
You'd usually think it was the reverse.
Right.
That was very interesting.
Sorry, guys.
So on January 12th, 1926, the two-man comedy series Sam and Henry debuts on Chicago's WGN radio station. 2 years later, after changing its name to Amos and Andy, the show becomes one of the world's most popular radio programs.
They just needed to change the name.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh, October 1926. A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh was published, introducing one of the most beloved children's characters in literature.
So who's our favorite Winnie the Pooh character?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, probably Winnie the Pooh.
Is right? it?
I mean, there's Eeyore, Piglet. Who else?
Well, Tigger.
Yeah. Tigger. Oh, Tigger's pretty fun. Yeah.
See, I'm trying to decide if it's the modern stuff that has made Tigger even more fun.
Right.
Because I liked him from the very beginning. Eeyore always annoyed me. And Owl kind of annoyed me because he was such a smart aleck, because he was such a know-it-all.
Yeah. But, and Eeyore was too bummed. Yeah.
All right. Amazing Stories is the first science fiction magazine.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
The iconic U.S. Route 66, one of the original highways in the United States, numbered highway system, open to vehicular traffic. Route 66 runs for nearly 2,500 miles from Chicago to Santa Monica and is sometimes referred to as America's Mother Road.
I've never called it that.
I've never heard that either. Mother Road. Okay.
All right. So I wish I had the little bing, 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 or whatever it is for the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, went on the air with a gala 4-hour radio program that was broadcast on over 20 radio stations from the East Coast all the way to Kansas City.
Wow. That's interesting. IGA grocery store chain came out that year.
I don't know how far that was. That was my grocery store growing up, was an right. IGA.
I mean, I think there's still a lot of IGAs around, I feel like, especially here in the Northwest.
No, actually, the IGA was the stop on the way home.
Oh.
And get quick stuff. Like it was a quickie mart kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Smaller ones.
A&P was our grocery store.
Okay. Schick Razors turn 100. And Purina Dog Chow also turns 100.
Don't have a dog.
So. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So these are words that first appeared in print.
Ooh.
Yeah, this one kind of surprised me. In print.
Okay.
Because I was taking issue with some of these, but again, first time they appeared in print that we can prove.
Okay.
So, accident prone. Algorithm.
All right.
That's one that surprised me. Algorithm.
Right.
And apple polish.
I have no idea what that is, but yeah. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. Baguette and biggie.
Baguette? What did they call them before that?
Yeah,
bread?
Yeah.
Loaf of bread?
What about car park, catabolize, catagen, checkpoint, close-knit, conventioneer, cosmetologist, cosmetology, and cotton candy?
Did they not have conventions?
Right.
Or did they just not know what to call if you went to a convention?
Right.
And cotton candy. I wonder if it was invented then.
I know. That's so fun. That's
yeah. How come that wasn't on our list of things invented? Deactivate.
Ooh.
Dean's List. So before that, nobody was a good student.
Right.
Demanding.
Oh, interesting.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
Do-si-do.
That's kind of fun.
Down the line and drop ship.
Interesting. Let's see. We also have Emerald Cut, Exclusion Principle, and Exclusivity. Moving on to F, there's Fact Finder, Fantasize, Field Trip, Fixated, Four-wheel drive, freeway, freezer burn, frequency response, fridge, and fulfilled.
Okay, see, I understand things like freeway, four-wheel drive, freezer burn, fridge.
Fact finder.
Fulfilled.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody, yeah. I mean, that just, and how was it invented?
Hmm.
You know, who first uses it and how? That fascinates me. Gentilism, GI, Glandiola, Glen Plaid, and growth factor.
Ooh, okay. How about hash browns, hideaway, holistic, horse and buggy, hyperfine?
Horse and buggy is the one here that I take issue with.
With a hyphen, too. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
Interdisciplinary.
Ooh, that's a big word.
See, this is the growth of the middle class and the middle managers.
Okay.
These kinds of words.
Okay, jumper cable. Goes along with freeway and all that. Also, moving on to K's, karate, kilo bar, knitwear, and kudo. Like, kudos?
Kudos, yeah, I guess that's what it is. L's, lift truck, loss ratio. See, again, it's that middle managers. We're professionalizing, and you've got office workers now, and that's what all these some of these words are all about. You know, creating a whole genre, I guess, or whole careers. And lube,
meals on wheels, megacycle, microsurgery, and motor lodge.
Those will make sense.
Yeah, pretty fun.
Overdrive and OXO.
Okay, P pastis. Paternity test, dun dun dun, patrol car, Pavlova, Pavlovian, pre-shrunk, pre-treat, Protestant ethic, and punch in.
Punch into work, into the office.
Interesting.
Protestant ethic, though, that too surprises me because that I thought went way back to like pilgrims.
Okay. So. And it could have, right? It's the documentation.
So Q, quasi-particle, and quickie.
Ooh. Randomize, red dwarf, red ink, and ribeye.
Sail slip, sand casting, scatter rug, signifying, sociocultural, spec, like I'm going to spec, like spike heel, splash guard, steroid, strip mine, surfing, and swimsuit.
How fun.
And these are, of course, words that first appeared in print in 1926.
I like this next one. Ta-da!
I wonder if somebody said it on the radio first.
Well, and then again, like deciding whether or not it's a real word. Televise, throw pillow, totalitarianism, total recall, and turnaround.
Under the counter, undiagnosable, and up and coming.
Hmm. Vacuum packed and vaporetto. We also have X-ray therapy, and we end the list with the word zippered.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
I've not really like seen this kind of a list before. I mean, right. I've seen like just, first time this specific word was, you know, this year, but a whole list from the same year.
Yeah. This is also, I like this one though.
So these are the popular 50 popular foods and beverages from the 1920s.
Oh, yeah. The top one is, it's baked bean sandwiches.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Baked ham.
That's fine.
All right, I'm
down
with that.
Baked pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
Bathtub gin, which is a slang term for low quality gin.
So every time I see like bathtub something, my first year of college going to some of the parties, they would just have in the tub, and I just think how gross this is, or in a big garbage can. With, you know, a hefty bag or something.
Yeah.
But they would just pour all kinds of liquor into it, and then you dip a cup in. How did we survive as a human race?
Well, I survived because I never drank anything like that, so. But other people, not sure. There's also the bee's knees, and the bee's knees is a cocktail made from gin, honey, and lemon juice.
I wonder if you go into a bar and order that, if they'd know what it was.
You can, because I've seen that on menus before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Beef tenderloin.
Nice.
Butterscotch cake. We talked about that at the beginning of the show.
That sounds delicious.
It does.
Cheese trays, chicken a la king.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And what is it?
What's
a la king?
I don't know, but it was on like the menu in grade school.
Okay.
Cafeteria.
Ew, gross.
Yeah.
Okay. Chicken salad, clam chowder, Coca-Cola. Undoubtedly, Coca-Cola or Coke was America's most popular soft drink in 1921.
So still carrying through.
Yeah.
All right. Crab cakes.
Nice.
Cream puffs. Devil's food cake. And deviled eggs.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed. Deviled eggs. When we first started doing our casino night fundraisers that are all like a speakeasy 1920s themed, Chris Holland catered the very first one. And he was trying to do all themed food. And he's like, I'm going to do deviled eggs. And we were like, what? And then we looked it up and he was dead on.
He was right. Oh, how interesting.
We're like, that's just kind of funny and silly.
Well, it also goes with the egg sandwiches, the French 75, also still very popular. French 75 is a cocktail made from gin, simple syrup, lemon juice, and champagne. And then Gatsby sandwiches. The Gatsby sandwich is a foot-long sub stuffed with meat, French fries, cheese, piri-piri or tomato sauce, fried eggs, and salad. It originated in Cape Town, South Africa, and still is a favorite dish among Cape Townians.
Okay, so I'm curious. It's been a long time since I've read The Great Gatsby. Is this a sandwich described in The Great Gatsby book, or is this something that in Cape Town they think, oh, this is what a rich person would eat, and that's why they called it?
That's what my guess would be. I do not remember Gatsby sandwich.
Just the idea of a foot-long sub does not strike me as something that would have been in the book.
Meat and French fries.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. There's also Gin Ricky. Gin Ricky is a cocktail made from that bathtub gin, lime juice, and seltzer.
Ginger ale. I like ginger ale.
Oh, that's what you need after you have the Gin Ricky. A highball. Highball is a cocktail made from two parts club soda and one part scotch.
Icebox cake. This cake is made from chocolate wafers and whipping cream.
You know, I always have wondered. I assumed icebox cake was just something that was in the freezer.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't realize it was an actual specific kind of cake. Jello also came out. J-E-L-L-O. Lemonade, lobster Newberg, and a Mary Prickford. And this is a cocktail made from light rum, pineapple juice, grenadine, and maraschino cherries. The drink was named after Mary Pickford, a famous stage and screen actress whose career spanned 5 decades.
And I've got to believe that you could not go into a bar and order today.
Yeah, that I haven't heard of that one.
Who is that? Meatloaf.
Oh, nice. Still going. Yep. Mint julep, also still very popular. It's a cocktail made from bourbon, mint leaves, and simple syrup. I don't remember this many drinks.
That's why I'm kind of amazed. They were drinking in the 20s.
Yeah, because
drinking heavy.
The next one is an old fashioned, and that's made from bourbon, bitters, sugar cubes, and club soda. Go ahead.
Olive platters, oysters, Rockefeller. That's I wonder good. If Rockefeller really had oysters like that. Pineapple upside down cake.
My in-laws loved pineapple upside down cake. Loved it. I never quite got it. It's like, why do you make it upside down? And why do you put pineapple on it? Popular spices during the 1920s include salt and pepper, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, dried ginger and cloves. And other pantry staples were mustard, vinegar, and vanilla and fruit extracts. Prosperity sandwiches. The Seattle Times tells us that a prosperity sandwich is made from sautéed mushrooms and shallots, ham and turkey slices, cheese and tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't think so. roasted chicken, roasted duck, roasted turkey, root beer, salted peanuts, pecans, almonds, and hazelnuts, shrimp cocktail, and I'm rushing because I want to get to number 43 on this list.
Yeah.
A sidecar.
Oh.
That is Renee's favorite drink.
Oh, is it? Yes. Oh, how fun.
And about half the time, she has to explain how to make it.
Oh, so
it's interesting. A cocktail made from cognac.
Cognac.
Orange liqueur and lemon juice.
Nice. Smoked ham, Southside. Another drink made from gin, lime juice, simple syrup, and mint leaves. Stuffed celery, stuffed mushrooms, and tea sandwiches. Tea sandwiches are the small prepared sandwich that you eat in 2 or 3 bites.
And sometimes we have them for Mother's Day tea and scones.
Oh, nice.
We have little tea sandwiches.
Of course, we have Tom Collins, and then we wrap up that list with a Waldorf salad.
So thank you all for listening, and stick with us through 2026. The biggest thing turning 100 that I did not talk about, the Astoria Column. There's going to be a lot more about that throughout the year.
I love it.
So go make some history. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.